Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We're going to get straight to the point of today's call. You need more money. Now, we're not trying to be provocative, presumptuous, or even prophetic, but the fact is, you need more money. That's a true statement. Whoever you are, you need more money. I know that's a true statement, even if you won't admit it yet. We're going to discuss why you need more money, and secondly, how you can get more money. So we want to ask you a question. Do you need answers in your life?
In Ecclesiastes 10:19, it says, "A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things." The New International Version of Ecclesiastes 10:19 says money is the answer for everything.
Money certainly, well, it certainly provides solutions and has tremendous power to change situations. Money is neither good nor bad, as we've said many, many times. It just reveals the character of the person who has it. You know, human nature is fascinating. People who have money but feel guilty and uncomfortable about their wealth, there's some of those. Then there are those who don't have money but continually criticize and condemn those who do.
In Isaiah 60, verse 5 says, "Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of Gentiles shall come to you." Money allows us to be more effective in everything we do. Money is just an extension of who we are. One thing I feel like I need to say right now, though, is the fact that if you don't like people who have money, it really, you will never have it yourself.
That's right.
Because you can't dislike something that you want. You just can't dislike it. But we suggest that you and I continue to ponder the power and wisdom of Joshua 1:8. We've read it many times, and this is in the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." And that is in every area of life.
That's exactly right.
Prosperity is definitely a result of success.
If you go, well, if you go and if you really wanted to be poor, then that verse would have said, "For then you shall barely get by."
There you go.
"Have just enough. Then you shall deal wisely and depend on other people to take care of you." That's not what it says. So here's the question. Why would God promise prosperity and success if he preferred us to remain poor and broke? Mm-hmm. The love of money is an attitude. Here are seven questions that will help you know whether or not you love money. Number one, do you know who really owns the money in your pocket, your bank account, and your investments? Deuteronomy 10:14, Classic Amplified. "Behold, the heavens and heaven of the heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth also with all that is in it and on it."
And in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The New Living Translation of Psalm 24:1 says it even clearer than, if that's possible. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him."
And you know, and in Job 41:11, New Living Translation, "Who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine."
Hallelujah.
See, understanding that God owns everything will clarify our thinking and keep us from making inaccurate and unscriptural assumptions about the things that we own in this life.
Number two, This is a telling question. What is our reaction to giving? You know, there are some kind of folks who say, I'm not going to give them anything for Christmas because they didn't give me anything last year. That sounds about right. That sounds we just came off the Christmas season. But when it's time to receive for the offering at church, what is our response? Do we love it or how do we respond and react? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if we treasure our giving, then our heart leaps toward the opportunity to give when the opportunity arises. In Matthew 6:21 in the Message Bible, it says, it's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. And yes, we're going to end up being there. Your giving reflects the place you most want to be. Now here's the bottom line. Someday we're going to end up in heaven, and that's where our real treasure is going to be.
That's exactly right.
So the last question to ponder before we move on to point number three is, are we using excuses or justifications? Do they keep flooding our mind when it's time to give in the offering, and why?
That's exactly right. Number three, do you resent what other people have? Do you resent the fact that somebody else has something you don't? Actually, the problem is the love of money. It causes people to resent those who have it. Envy, a judgmental spirit, or resentment of other people's wealth identifies a person with the love of money. One of the major keys to manifesting blessings in your own life is to rejoice with others over the blessings in their lives.
That's so true. And number four, are you tempted to take shortcuts? Dishonest deals and tax avoidance is not only evidence of a love of money, it also brings a curse. In Jeremiah 17, verse 11, New Living Translation, it says, like a bird that hatches eggs that she has not laid, so are those who get their wealth by unjust means. Sooner or later, they will lose their riches and at the end of their lives will become poor old fools. The King James Version of Jeremiah 17:11 says it this way. So he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. What is the right way? God tells us all throughout the Bible. Seed time and harvest.
Absolutely. Number five. Do you hold on to things too tightly? Did you hear the story of the man who held on to George Washington so tightly that he started to cry?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, George Washington is the president. He's going to church more than any other one.
Mm-hmm.
$1 bills. Another question. Are you the type of person who will drive 20 minutes to save $2 without thinking what it cost you to make that drive? Do you withhold money when you have the opportunity to bless because you think you may need it later? Two scriptures, Proverbs 11:24-25. Proverbs 11:24-25, New Living Translation. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Wow. Psalm 37:21, Message Bible. Wicked borrows and never returns. Righteous gives and gives. Generous gets it all in the end. Stingy is cut off at the pass.
Well, there's a great cowboy metaphor for a Message Bible translation.
Yes, it is.
Number six, how do you respond when you've been taken advantage of? There's a story about Robert De Vinciendo. I'm not very good at that.
De Vinciendo.
A golfer from Argentina who beautifully displayed one of the best ones many years ago when he won the Masters golf tournament, but was denied the coveted green jacket. I won't say he won because he was the lowest score at the end of the 4 days, but his player partner who kept the score had inadvertently written that he had made a five on one of the holes when in reality he had made a four. Dave You want to say it again?
David Senzo.
He signed the card, and when an incorrect score is signed, the player is disqualified. He had not cheated, but the rules had to stand. So what was his reaction when he learned he'd been disqualified? Did he blame his playing partner? No, he said he made a stupid mistake. He accepted full responsibility himself. Now, what kind of a man is he? You know, sometime later, he won another tournament. After they gave him the check and he spent a great deal of the time in the dressing room, he was in no particular hurry. He was having a good time. When he came out into the parking lot, it was empty, except for a young woman. She approached him saying she didn't have a job, her sick baby was at the point of death, and she didn't have the money to pay hospitals or doctors. This sweet golfer signed his tournament winnings over to the young woman and went on his way. The next week, he was in the country club, and one of the PGA officials told him that he'd been the victim of fraud. That woman didn't have a baby and was not even married. DiVincenzo said, "You mean there was no sick baby at all?" The official said, "That's right." And he said, "Wow, you have just given me the best news I've heard all year."
Wow, it's a great story.
What a heart.
Yep. Number 7, is money too high on your agenda? We must never be ruled to live according to money alone. Prosperity is about so much more than money. God wants us to be prosperous in every area of our lives: spiritual, family, financial, physical, mental, social. Prosperity is not what you have. Prosperity is what has you. When we recognize money is just a tool to help us accomplish the things God has called us to do, we've taken the first step, being released from money.
From the love of money.
From the love of money.
That's it.
Hallelujah. And I would say to you, I've said many times, the greatest problem is not the love of money, but the lack of money.
God wants us to prosper, and the Word tells us
not only that, but
how to prosper.
But then we can be a blessing to other people.
That's it.
People who need, you know, a hand up. And not necessarily a handout, but you help them and then move on. That's what you do. Hallelujah. We're headed to Ocala, Florida for the celebration ceremony for our friend Randy Zeman tomorrow. And his wife Laurel asked me to kind of head the service, and I'm blessed and honored by that. But continue to pray for Laurel, especially in the next couple of days, and even the days beyond, and for the friends who miss Randy, and we're in that number.
Amen.
Go to haroldherring.com. If you've been blessed by the teaching, click on the button that says sow a seed and just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says, sow wherever asked. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.